and over our lives. Emmanuel. Come on.
Emmanuel.
Hey.
Emmanuel.
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 Emmanuel. Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor.
Yeah.
Lord of life, Lord of all. He is the Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Holy One.
Says about the birth of our Lord and Savior. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privy. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. I lost my spot. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save the people of their sin. Amen.
Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor.
Which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth their firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Amen.
Wonderful Counselor.
Wonderful Counselor.
This morning, you ready to get wet in Jesus this morning? Come on, let's wait on in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Jesus, you come alive in your river. Come on now. Yes, let's sing it together.
Where goodness flows, there is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current staring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The cloud of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river.
Play it. We come alive in the river. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. Come on, let's sing it again. There's a current.
There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart.
Nothing can stop this joy.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you this morning. Father, we bless you this morning. We bless you because it's the life that you breathe into us. So God, we just turn it back around. We turn it back around and we send it right back at you, God. It's the breath that you've breathed into us. It's the life that you have given us. It's the blessings. It's paying a price that we could not pay, God, that makes you worthy of all our praise. We glorify you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Yeah. Oh, we've come to bless you this morning, Lord. Because you alone are worthy of all my praise. Come on, church, just begin to bless him. We bless you, Lord. For you alone are worthy. We come to give you glory. Yes, because you deserve all of my praise. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we come to honor you. We come to bless you, sweet Jesus. Get ready to sing.
It's your breath.
Yes.
In our lungs.
Come on.
Pour out our praise.
Yes.
Pour out our
it's your
praise.
Breath.
It's your breath.
Ooh.
In our lungs.
So I'm gonna offer up.
Pour out our praise.
Yes, I am.
Pour out
sing it
our
again. It's your breath.
Breath. In our lungs.
Oh God.
So we pour
I bless
out
you
our
with
praise.
My praise this morning.
Pour out our praise.
It's your breath. Gonna pour.
So we pour out our praise.
Come on, we're gonna sing it
pour
one more time. It's your breath.
Yeah, yeah. In our lungs.
Yes.
So we pour come on. Out our praise.
If you need a refreshing pour this morning, pour out your praise. Sing it again.
Your
yeah.
In our lungs.
Oh.
So we pour out our praise.
Yes, we pour out. It's your breath.
In our lungs,
yeah, yeah.
So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your
breath.
In our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Come on, you're starting to get in this moment. Oh, you gotta sing it again.
So we
Pour out our praise.
on, church.
Pour come on, church. Out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise.
Here we go.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
In our lungs,
so we pour
to you only.
Our praise to you only. In our lungs.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah. See, I believe that when you come to church, you shouldn't leave the same way that you came. I said, when you come to church, you shouldn't leave the same way you came. And I don't know if you remember, I don't know if it was last year or how long ago it was, Pastor spoke, and in the middle of worship, God gave him a vision of where he opened up the roof of this place like a zipper. He said a zipper. You remember that? You know what? I know that I need God to wreck me.
Yes.
Because guess what? If he wrecks me, I no longer put me in the way of God.
Yes.
And I was listening to a man preach this morning on my way to church, and he was talking about, you know what, we get so busy looking at everything that goes on around us, and our what comes around us is magnified. And when everything around us is magnified, guess who's not magnified? Our Savior. So, you know what? I want to do the opposite this morning. I want to make sure that my Savior is magnified.
Yes.
And the things that I deal with,
yes,
are not so great. Because then he gets all the glory and honor. And guess what? When he gets all the glory and honor, he can roll back the zipper. He can open it up. And he said, when my people who are called by my name will fall on their face and they will repent of their sin and they will allow me to be their God, then guess what? He comes and heals their land. Amen. I know that we need a healing, amen? I know that we need a healing all around us. This week, people lost their homes in Tennessee. Guess what? People lost other things. They've lost loved ones. They're going through trials and tribulations. But guess what? My God.
Jesus.
I said, my God. Come on. Come on. Did you hear me? Isn't that funny? When I started talking about my God, the enemy tried to shut me up.
Yeah.
This morning? How many are glad that no matter what this world has to offer, your God reigns?
Yes.
Turn to somebody and say, I can't fail. Turn to somebody and say, I can't fail. My God reigns. Amen?
Amen?
On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks and tell somebody, my God reigns.
Yes.
You could just step over the bodies.
Hey family, have you signed up for Next Steps yet? We want to remind you that Next Steps, we have step number one happening every single week with Rock Solid Faith. This happens every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and again, Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Make sure that you sign up for step number one, get into Rock Solid Faith. And step two, we're getting ready to wrap up on marriage class, and we're going to be moving the second week of January, January 10th, on a Tuesday night, 7 p.m. We're going to get started with faith and finances, and right down here at Overcoming Hurt and Offense. If you haven't already signed up for step one, make sure you register today. And if you've already been through step one in Rock Solid Faith, make sure you sign up for step two and get registered today. So make sure that you sign up for Next Steps today. You can go online at histabernacle.com or come right here in the foyer and sign up at the hub. Make sure you sign up for Next Steps, get registered, and start growing.
Merry Christmas to your family from ours. We want to invite you to special services this Christmas season, December 24th at 7 p.m., a special communion and candlelight Christmas Eve service, and then Christmas Day, celebrating the reason for the season at 10 a.m., one service only.
We'll see you in just a little bit.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. I can tell that you came this morning expecting to God to move in power. And not only are we excited, but we know that our God in heaven is excited, because when we determine to dwell together in unity, God shows up, right? I'm excited to be a part of a house that loves each other and loves God more than anything in the whole wide world. So welcome to church this morning. We would also like to welcome any of the guests that we might not have caught on our way in. So if you are a guest this morning, would you just raise your hand for us? We don't intend to point you out, but we have a gift for you that we would love to bless you with. Are there any guests? Yep, I see one in the back. Oh, one right here. Are there any other guests in the house this morning? Okay, one over here in the fourth row. Anyone else? Okay, one in the back. Great, thank you. Gifts are coming around for you. We would also love to invite you to our guest reception that will be held directly after the service. You just want to join us in one of the rooms on the left-hand side, right over here. And we actually have a sign out there that says guest reception. We have coffee and goodies, and you'll have an opportunity to meet our pastors. So we welcome you. Let's give our guests a round of applause this morning. We would also love to welcome our live stream. We are so thankful that you decided to join us this morning. And we know that the Holy Spirit really desires to enter into your living room, your bedroom, your car, wherever it is that you are watching this morning. The Holy Spirit desires to move in your life. So thank you for entering into this with us today. Now we're going to have our announcements from Pastor Ranta.
Thank you, Pastor Johnson. We have next week a water baptism. So if you have not yet signed up for this supernatural encounter with water baptism, next week, don't miss out on it. And then we had the little Merry Christmas welcome from Pastor and I. You know what I love about Christmas this year, our Christmas Sunday service, is that it interrupts what we've made Christmas about to bring the reality of what Christmas is all about. So on Christmas this year, it falls on a Sunday so perfectly, so we can make Christmas about what it is supposed to be, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this year we have special gift envelopes that we've printed up to make it easy for your Christmas giving. We're going to give these out to you today as you come forward and bring your offering so that you can prepare your Christmas gift for your kings. We had them printed with a beautiful bow, and you will be able to bring that and present your gift to Jesus on Christmas Day. And we also have the Christmas Eve service, which is at 7 p.m.
the night before. So make sure you etch out this holiday season to be all about King Jesus. So today, as we enter into tithes and offerings, I'd like to read some passages of scripture to you. And it says, Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. This is the word of God. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting. Then your barns will be overflowing and your vats will be bursting. In Proverbs 11:24, it talks about the giver, one that gives freely yet grows all the richer. You see, our mentality is you hold on to, but the word of God says when you give, there is one who gives freely yet grows richer, and another who withholds what he should give, his honor of his wealth to the Lord. He withholds what he should give and only suffers want. We need to make sure with our finances that we honor God, because when we give, it shall be given unto us, pressed down, and with what measure we give, it will be measured back to us, pressed down, running over, will he give unto us. So if we want to increase, we need to participate with kingdom finances and not withhold what should be his, the honor that is due him. So if you'll stand to your feet, we're going to declare from the word of God in Deuteronomy 28. If you'll repeat it after me, it says, if I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I am, oh, you guys don't sound very excited about this. I'm excited about this. Come on, we got to back this up again and try it over. If I obey, awesome, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. Now, as you bring your tithes and offerings, we have our Christmas gift envelopes and we have communion cups. So make sure you come forward and grab your gift envelope and your communion cups. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning.
Mighty God, only one, Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. The Prince of Peace, mighty God, Holy One, Emmanuel.
wonderful counselor. Oh, Lord above, Lord above. He's the Prince of Peace, mighty God, Holy One. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Wonderful.
Wonderful counselor. Oh, Lord of life, Lord of all.
He's the
Prince of Peace, mighty God, Holy One.
Praise the Lord. What a beautiful day, isn't it? I love that song, don't you? How many of you love Christmas? I love Christmas. One of my favorite seasons. In fact, I play Christmas music all year round. Drives my family crazy, but I love Christmas music. Amen. We'd like to receive communion this morning. How many of you love communion? I want to remind you what communion is about. It's about covenant. Turn to someone and say, I'm a covenant child. Now, you see, a lot of people make communion just a religious action that they do, and they come in, and once a month they take their communion, or every week, depending on what denomination you are. And some people make communion something that it's not. Some people actually believe that it's the body and the blood of Jesus that comes, that you're actually eating live flesh and blood. You're not. But the Bible talks about why we do it. It's to remind us about the covenant rights that Christ has cut for us. You see, we are covenant children. We just found out this young lady got healed. Amen. You got your foot healed? All healed up?
I went to the Packers on Friday for 3 hours, and I wouldn't turn my face and look at the doctors. And the doctor said, Charlie, look at me. And I wouldn't do it. I said, look at me. He said, one thing you've got to learn, never turn your face from the Lord when he's done a miracle in your body. And I said, yes, yes. He took everything off. That foot was crushed, and Ed and I never knew it. He said, we worked 8 months to restore your foot. But he said, it was really the Lord did a miracle.
Wow. Amen.
4 times in 8 months, they were going to take the whole foot.
Wow.
So I got his breath breathing in me, and I sang that all through the nursing home.
It's good to know you're healed, eh?
Amen.
A doctor called it a miracle. Amen. We're still trying to get my wife's doctor to say a miracle. Well, what I love about taking communion is the fact that we get to remind each other about what? About our covenant rights. You know, how many of you know that your sins are forgiven? How many believe it's always God's will to forgive your sins? Then you also have to believe the whole covenant, that it's always God's will to heal. You see, if it's always God's will to save, it's always God's will to heal. And God does not want you slugged down in poverty, amen? He became poor that we might become rich. A lot of religious folks try to make that verse in Corinthians a spiritual verse. But actually, if you read the context, it's talking all about money. God wants you in a position where while we're here on this earth, we are the covenant children of the Most High, and we can be that example to the world. How many of you know that the world should look at your life and say, I want to be a Christian just like you? All two of you said that. I said, how many of you are excited that God will use your life to bring in a great harvest for his kingdom? And that happens as we understand our covenant rights. Our covenant rights are what's talked about in communion. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me. And I want to remind you that the body always represents healing in the scripture. Exodus chapter 12, Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Isaiah chapter 53, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Every single time you cannot separate, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the blood and the body.
This is about the possibility of Jesus Christ coming into us.
Yes, and manifesting his promise. So today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, my goodness, we're going to let you know one thing for sure. That does not matter what sin you've done, Jesus will wash it away. Amen? How many of you, when you hear the message, you know what I'm going to talk about. Honestly, some people think they've gone too far. You've never gone too far. There's not one sin too big that Jesus cannot forgive. Say amen. And we know this for sure, that by his stripes you were healed. The Bible says after that he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which you do often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so today we're taking communion to remind ourselves of the great things Jesus has done. How many of you know your sins are forgiven? You got a reason to shout. Amen? You were in darkness, but God brought you out. So today, how many of you know that you're healed? Well, I don't see it yet. It doesn't matter what you see. It matters what you believe. Because you can't receive until you believe. Amen? You see, you couldn't be saved unless you believe that Jesus could wash your sins away. And you can't be healed until you believe it's God's will for you to be healed. You see, we receive on the level that we believe. And so today, let's celebrate our covenant rites. So let's grab the cracker. I'm not sure what that thing is. I want you to know that this morning, if you eat that, you're walking by faith. Hallelujah. This is talking about, seriously, I don't know what that is. This is about your physical body. And today, if you have sickness in your life, the cracker can't do anything. It's nothing more than just we're hoping it's a cracker. We're not sure what this is. We're going to pray for the company that makes these things. Amen. But today, if you're sick in your body, I want you to lay hands on the part that's sick in your body. And we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Whoop, there goes that healing anointing. Right there, Father, I thank you. The healing anointing has just landed on this congregation. Whew. In the name of Jesus, I speak to sickness and disease that's in this room, that's on the children of God. And I speak to you clearly. You, according to the covenant of Christ that he cut on the tree and rose from the dead to set us free. You today are arrested, and I command you to come out and off of the body of the children of God that are in this room and watching via live stream. I rebuke sickness, and I command you to come out of them now. By your stripes, Jesus, we are and were healed. We receive right now. Let's eat the cracker together. Today, no matter what sin you might think you've done, that's too bad. I want you to know it's not too bad. I'm not saying it's good. Turn to someone and say, don't keep doing it. Amen. You don't keep sinning. Should grace abound? All right? I don't know what sin you've done, but I know this. Jesus can wash it all away right now. Amen? Pray this with me right out loud. Dear Jesus, whatever sin is in my life, I confess it right now. Wash my sins away as I celebrate the blood of Jesus. In your name, amen. Let's receive together. Isn't that nasty? I mean, it's really gross. If there was any other way. Amen. I do want to recognize two great men of God who have stepped into the anointed zone, the blessings of God. If I could have Brother Terry stand up and Brother Nick stand up. Don't they look tremendous? They're both wearing Robert Graham shirts this morning. Thank you, Brother Terry. Brother Terry, he's in the office with me this morning, and he said, Pastor, I just got to confess. I got a confession to make. He said, I always call your shirts, he makes fun of my shirts. And I says, no problem. So I waited for him to get out in the sanctuary. I says, I got two more in the other room. And I sent Brother Terry to go put one on, and I sent Brother Nick. So I don't feel all by myself. What a great day, amen? Isn't it crazy? Christmas is almost here. How many of you are excited about Christmas? Amen. I'm excited about Christmas. I love the Christmas season. I love the fact that we get to celebrate and worship Jesus. But I also get the excitement that you get to have friends come that normally would not come. You see, this is your opportunity, your season, to bring in a harvest for the Lord. And I challenge you to do so. Bring in a harvest for Jesus by inviting your friends to the house of the Lord. Amen? This morning I want to share a message that has been on my heart for probably 3 or 4 months. And I've just been waiting for the timing of God to share it with you. You see, I believe, and I've walked around for quite a period of time, but even more this week, with a little sadness in my heart. And if you know anything about me, the one thing that you'll know is I'm never sad. I'm just not a sad person. I'm one of those kind of people, when I get up in the morning, my wife says, will you go back to bed, please? I'm one of those happy people. I'm bouncing all over the place, and I'm getting her tea, and I'm getting her breakfast, and I'm talking to the dog, and then I go talk to Jesus, and I'm all over the place, and I just have a great time. My nature is just, I love having fun, sometimes at the expense of others, but I love having fun, and I just enjoy life. But for the last 4 or 5 days, there's been a real heaviness on my heart. And I knew that this is where God wanted to take us in the Word this morning. I believe that the Spirit of God says specific things to specific churches at specific times to get a specific result. And I believe without question that God has placed us here for a specific purpose, and that is to seek and to save them which are lost. I believe without a doubt that this church is placed here not on accident or just to survive and be in the cornfield, but that God has a divine purpose to bring the region back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God will bring revival through this church. But many times when we talk about revival, we don't understand what that actually means. Revival has nothing to do with a sinner. You cannot revive something that's never been alive. Revival is bringing back life to one that once was living but now is dead. And today I want to chat with you in the Word of God about what not only what I know God wants to speak to you, but what He's been speaking to me and bringing back to my heart. You see, I believe and I've seen that many people once who had a passion for Jesus, now it has waned and it is in a position where you go to church, you go through your actions, but really your passion, your heart for God has slowly started to diminish. And today God wants to set a fire within your heart. He wants to reignite a passion within your heart. Why? Because God wants to revive you, to put back inside of you what He is, His passion is, and that is relationship. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 7. I want to read a portion of Scripture to you, and then I just want to talk about it real quickly. And we're not going to be long this morning. 3 or 4 hours, we're out of here, and we'll be good. Ow! Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 36, says this. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. Now, I don't know about you, that's one thing that should encourage everyone. That means Jesus will go anywhere. This man was a guy that was religious. Now, if you don't know much about Pharisees, they always wore their long garments and they prayed out in public. And they made sure that religiously, everybody knew that they were religious people. They prayed out loud, not like we do, but on the streets to get people's attention. They would go and they would make sure that they would get everybody to know that they were good religious folks. Today, I want you to see something that's really cool in the scripture. Jesus never talked harshly to a sinner, but he always talked strong to the religious. Today, Jesus wants to speak to our hearts, and if any of us are stuck in plunging into religiosity, he wants to snatch us out and get us back to the passion, and that is called relationship that he purchased on Calvary's tree. Now, the Bible says that here's Jesus sitting at the table. He's sitting down to eat at the Pharisee's house, and all of a sudden, a woman shows up. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, what's interesting is no one knows this woman's name. No one sits about and say, some people say, well, maybe it's just, this is Mary. But nobody really knows who she is. But what they do know about her is that she's a sinner. You see, her life must have been so intense. Her sin must have been so huge. She must have been some wild chick. Because the city knew her as a sinner. Now, how many of you, a lot of people know that you used to really party hard? I mean, really? Brad Garrett, you were a partier? Yay. How many here, like, everyone looked at you and said, hey, if you want a party, you call these people? Yeah, hands are up all over the place. How many of you, when you started coming to church, everyone looked at you and said, what? They were shocked. Why? Because you were not known as some nice little person. You were known as the wild, intensely. What? You know what I have been finding? A lot of 40-year-olds are still smoking weed. What is up with that? Isn't it strange? A lot of 40-year-olds still smoking weed. I don't get that. Well, anyways, let's not digress. So here we are. There's this situation where a woman shows up, and they don't name her, but they name her as a sinner. She was so well known for whatever lifestyle that she lived that the entire city knew her as a bad person, as a sinner. So when she showed up, when they knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kiss his feet and anoint them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. Listen, how arrogant this dude is. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he thought himself so pious that he was one that looked at this woman who was known for sin, but because he was good and religious, he didn't think himself even close to her. I want you to know that the cross is level, that no matter who you are, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that he died on a cross for your sins, and that today you don't have to wonder that if you confess them that he'll forgive you. It doesn't matter if you're known as a sinner or you're known as some religious individual. In fact, if you look at it, Jesus dealt with the religious folks so strongly. I remember in the book of Isaiah, he made this declaration. He said, I hate your new moon feast. I hate your festivals. I hate your sacrifices. Why? Because their heart was not in it. You see, today, God is looking for your heart. That this is about a relationship with Christ. This is not about religion. And something that has been burning in my spirit is that a lot of folks have started off on fire for Jesus, but now have slid into a religious mode to where no longer are they passionate at the feet of Christ, even though they invite him to their house. So many people lose focus even in plain sight. They're blind even though they're in the light. So many believers do not recognize when they slide out of relationship and into religion. But here there's something that is so plain, that Christ was one who recognized, or this woman would never have been in the scripture. He so recognized that she desired to be free. He so recognized that he had the ability to do it, and so recognized she had the passion to receive it, that she positioned herself to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of Jesus, to be where healing and restoration and revival could occur, to now he starts addressing the man. Verse 44, he says this, And Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman never ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." Sometimes we're so blind, even though we have physical sight. The difference between this woman and this man was not that they weren't human. It's not that there wasn't sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that one recognized him for who he was, and the other through religious, pious eyes. See, the eyes that you see through determine what you're going to see in the picture. And this woman saw Jesus for who he was. She saw him according to the prophetic word in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that Jesus said, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free. I've come that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, to open blinded eyes." You see, Jesus came to do what the will of the Father was, and that is to come into people's lives and restore what Adam and Eve lost. You see, it's easy to slide out of passion and into religion. The Lord's been burdening my heart where so many of us are busy. So many of us are running around doing this world's business. We're so busy running around living our own lives that the passion that we once had for Jesus has now started to wane. And without us even recognizing, we're leaving his feet and now we're at the table with him. We're inviting him in into our house, but yet we're not honoring him when he gets there. It's not that we don't love God. It's not that we aren't saved, but we no longer recognize him for who he is. There's another situation that happened in the same kind of manner, and it's found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. And I'd like you to turn there with me real quick. Now, what happened is, as they went with Jesus, as he entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And when she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, I tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." It's almost like your parents are mad at you and they call you Michael James. "Martha, Martha. Oh, Martha. Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Today I want to talk to you about your hunger for Jesus. You see, everything that we are and everything that we have, let's be honest, is going to be gone. I have found that people have chased after things in their lives. They've chased after finances. They've chased after success. They've chased after a man. They've chased after a woman. They've chased after a job. They've chased after a title. They've chased after so many different things. But let's be real. You know, I've done 2 funerals in the last 2 weeks. And Pastor Jan just was with a family who had a loved one pass this last week as well. And we realized so quickly how fragile our lives are. And how so many of us are passionate about chasing things that when everything comes to end, really doesn't matter. This woman who walked in, who was known as a sinner, she walked over to Jesus and stood behind him. You see, while she stood behind him, something happened in her life. Her recognition of the Messiah, she made steps towards him. But when she was in his presence, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the recognition of who she was, came upon her life. And she went down to his feet and she started washing his feet with her tears. She started drying his feet with her hair, which, if you knew this, it was illegal for a woman to let her hair down. Then she took money, fragrant oil, and poured it over his feet.
You see, this woman so recognized Jesus, this woman so desperately wanted Jesus, that she did not care what anybody called her. She did not care whose house she was in. She did not care. She didn't even invite him, but she went to him with a passion and a desire to get what she wanted. And what was that? She needed forgiveness. She needed restoration. She needed healing. She needed a relationship. And I love the end part of that verse. Jesus said, by your faith, and her sins were forgiven. You see, today, so many of us started off there. We started off with a passion for Christ. And we are sincere, man. We love the Lord. How many of you had a real genuine experience with Jesus before? You couldn't deny it if you wanted to. You know you met God. You know he changed your life. You know what he did in your heart. Man, it was powerful. You couldn't wait to open your scripture. You couldn't wait to pray. You couldn't wait to get and to get to the house of the Lord. You couldn't wait to get to a class. You couldn't wait to be around believers. But over time, over life, things have happened. Whether it's because you just got distracted or what, like a Martha. Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. You're distracted by so many things. But this woman, Mary, has chosen the good thing, to sit at my feet, to be in my presence. Because it's in the presence of the Lord that everything you need is available. You see, today, with all of your getting, you can acquire everything this world has to offer you and still remain absolutely empty. He started really dealing with me on this. You know, we're blessed. My family is very blessed. I got a beautiful wife. It's hard to believe she's 10 years older than I am. We have beautiful children, grown. We got grandchildren, another grandchild on the way. We live in a beautiful home. We got nice cars. We've really worked hard in our lives, and God has blessed us with many souls. And we have a phenomenal church that we're able to pastor that went from 5 to last week, I believe, we ministered to almost 1,200 people inside the building. God has blessed us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. But the reality is this, is that I still had that aching thing inside. And he said to me, do you still have a passion for me? Do you still want me? See, you can have everything from the world, but let's be honest, when it's gone, what do you got? Christ has to be the one. He has to be. And we must be like that woman who was called the sinner, where she was so desperate for the Lord, she did not care about anything but being in his presence. Mary did not care if Martha was nagging and complaining. He did not care what she was going to say to her when Jesus left. But what she cared about was sitting at his feet. See, some of us, we had that passion, that drive, that we were so overwhelmed with being around Christ. That's all that mattered to us. Now we struggle to get to church. Now we struggle to open up the scripture. Now we struggle to pray. And God is saying, in these last days, as he's raising up the end time believers, he has got to have a people of God with a fire within their bones. They've got to have a passion within their spirit. They cannot be distracted by this world. God is raising up a bunch of believers that are going to be in the position to where they recognize who they are in the very presence of God. Yes, they've been sinners, but now their sins are washed away. Now they're child of the living God. Now they're being sent out to do the work of the kingdom. Now they're not going to be distracted by this world. Yes, we've got to live here. Yes, we've got to occupy till he comes, but the fire of God will never be allowed to be destroyed. The challenge is, some of us are in that position where our fire has gone out. Where now coming to church is a big deal. Because you only come to church when you can't find something else that's more important. You don't read the word anymore. God is saying, it's time. It's time to be like that woman and get back at my feet. It's time to be that woman and get down again and pray until you break through. It's time to get in a position again where you have a hunger and a thirsting after me. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, today every one of us have as much of Jesus as we desire, because God will give us all that we have passion to receive. But life. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm busy at work. Pastor, you don't understand. My family. Let me ask you a question. If you are so passionate about your family, then you want to make sure they're right with God. Because just to enjoy your family on this earth for this short period of time and never see them again for eternity is not a win. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been hurt in church. Pastor, you don't understand. You know, somebody said, Pastor, you offended me from the pulpit. And I want you to hear me very clearly. There comes a place in your walk with God that you don't care what other people have to say. You don't care what other people have done to you. You just want God with all you're getting. And you're unwilling to satisfy and just take a hold of nothingness. I want, when my life is over, to have a basket full of Jesus. I want to have all of God that I can get. And we've got to fulfill that hunger and thirst within our heart, and we cannot be distracted by this world. Some of us are so wound up with this world. I mean, our lives are completely saturated with this world. In fact, your sinner friends can't tell you you're Christian. They don't know you're born again, and when you tell them, they're going to go, oh, really? Because you live the same way they do. We've got to make decisions that Jesus is number one in our lives. Oh, but Pastor, you know, I love God. Listen, the Pharisee dude thought he loved God too. How about Paul, or who was Saul, who was surnamed Paul? Saul was so passionate. Saul was so driven. He was so religious that he actually took those of the way, the Christians, and he persecuted them, made them, put them in jail. In fact, he was on the road to Damascus when the transition happened in his life. The Bible said that he met Christ on the road to Damascus, and that day it went from religion to relationship, and there was a transition in the life to where now he was passionate, but not about religion. It was about sharing Jesus with other people. You see, our lives have got to get consumed again by Jesus Christ. We've got to get back at his feet. We've got to get back at the altar. We've got to get down. Man, when was the last time you knelt down before the Lord and allowed God to convict you of a sin? When was the last time you got down before the Lord and you wept before him? When was the last time you got down before the Lord and you allowed him to exercise your heart and open up and show those things that even you and I don't like to see? Some of us are so okay with sin, yet we say we love God. And there's a problem there. There's deception there. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. 1 John. Oh, but Pastor, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about loving Jesus more than you love anything else. Remember, if this is about a relationship, nobody here would want to share. Amen? Can you imagine you're getting married? Let's just say you're getting married next Thursday. I don't know why you'd get married on a Thursday, but you are. Getting married next Thursday, right? And the night before the wedding, you find out that your bride of the next day just slept with your best friend. How many of you would say, boy, baby, I can't wait to walk down the aisle with you? How many of you know there might be an issue here? And listen, if there's not an issue, you have one. You see, we're unwilling to share with temporal value. And we expect God to share with eternal value. I told you I wasn't going to be long today. I had to ask myself some questions. What happens if the church was gone? What happens if my family was gone? All my stuff is gone. What do I have left? What is my anchor? I have to go back, and I have to really look at that, because it is easy to say God. I'm not disrespecting anybody who said that. It is easy to say God. But if it's all gone, is it God? Is he really the number one in your life? If everything else is gone tomorrow, what do you got? And I had to ask myself these questions, because remember, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching with you. Well, you know. Yeah, I do. You're full of crap. Yeah, you know. Because that means that all you're doing is willing to make an excuse for the reason you're doing what you're doing. And God is saying it's time for us to take a true value at our lives. When was the last time we were so passionate about Jesus? You see, we want revival, but we want revival on our terms. But you see, God does not share well. And many people that are in the light are so blinded, not by the light, but blinded by their own desires and passions, like even Martha was, and it was a good thing. But you see, even good things can be bad. We've got to get back to the base. We've got to get back to our knees. We've got to get back to the feet of Christ and say, Jesus, all that matters is that I know you. Yes, God, my life, I've got to occupy till you come. But Jesus, while I'm on this planet, I will have one passion. I will have one drive. And Jesus, if I sin, I pray such conviction that I will have to get back on my knees at your feet and even weep. You see, the religious dude was cool in his own sight. You got to get that now. Simon was cool in his own sight. He was so pompous, he looked at her and says, if he was really a prophet, he knows she was a sinner. While he himself was in the same position that she was. Religion will never save you. I don't care if you have Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic. I don't care if you have Lutheran written across your head. None of those things matter. There aren't any of those in heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. And that is relationship with God. And I've been burdened because I believe many of us, and again, I had to check myself, have slidden out of relationship and are into a little religion where we're thinking we're okay, but we're not spending any time in relationship with Jesus any longer. The Bible is so very clear in the book of Revelation when he was talking to the church of Laodicea. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. You see, God is so passionate for us. God so loves us. God so desires us that he warns us. He puts in the scripture about this woman who went and she got right at his feet and said, Jesus. He forgave her. While the man who thought he was okay never even asked for forgiveness, therefore carried his sin to the next generation. I'm not trying to get anybody questioning their salvation, but I am asking us to question our motivation. Are you still passionate about Jesus? Are you playing Martha or are you still Mary? When was the last time you spent time with him? Talking like serious time where he could reveal things that are uncomfortable. Anybody had Jesus reveal things uncomfortable before? How many think that was really fun? No, that's not fun. Pastor, I came like really hoping that I was going to feel better than when I came.
You will. I promise. Because when we realign our lives, when we get back to putting Jesus first, when we stop cheating on him with the things of the world, when we make him number one priority, then the peace of God that passes all understanding, then the passion of heaven being rebirthed, then with the fire of God that's in our heart, the word of God that's coming alive, the covenant rights being activated, the peace. Man, I want to tell you something. When Jesus and you are right, there ain't nothing this world can touch it with. But when you and Jesus ain't right, there's a cavern in your heart. And you can fill it with everything else this world has to offer. But after a while, that stuff loses its taste. And you got to get back to the cross where you first began. There's an old song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. And sing it with me. It was thereby that I received my what? My what? Sight. Are you blind today? Or do you see? Are you playing religion today? Or are you still passionate about Christ? Are you okay in your own heart? Because you said that little prayer at 5 years old? Or are you still in relationship with the living God? This is the burden that's on my heart. Because there's a lot of preachers not going to heaven, by the way. Just because you call yourself a preacher don't mean you're saved. What makes you right with God is he's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. They love him with all their heart, their mind, their body, soul, and their strength. Today I have a question for you. If all of your life is gone, well, that can't be. Yes, it can. I think 42 people just died in a fire, I believe in Oakland. I believe it was last night to this morning. How quickly things disappear in our lives. What we consider stable, let's be real, isn't stable at all. What we got in our pocket, all of a sudden there's a hole in my pocket. Deliza. Is Jesus number one in your life? What do you got in the way between you and Christ? What is it that you have put more passion towards than Jesus? Today, I challenge you to change your life and get back at his feet. These two women are in the scripture for a reason. They show us posture, the greatest posture. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Bow your heads with me this morning. You see, not one person in this room can answer it for anybody else. Not one person in this room will ever stand before God for anybody else. Each one of us will stand before the Lord simply by ourselves. I believe that many of us need to repent. What do we mean repent? You see, if you're okay with the sin that you're saturated in, you're delusional if you think you're saved. I'll say it one more time. If you're living in sin and you think you're still cool with God, you're deceiving yourself. You need revival. And some in the room, man, you were once that passionate person, you couldn't wait to get into the house of the Lord. You couldn't wait to grow and learn. You couldn't wait to have God speak to you again. And now, it's not even a big deal. Whenever, if ever, I'm saved, I'm good. And maybe today you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And today I got great news for you. I don't have any religion to give you.
But I got a Jesus who died on a cross and rose from the dead so that you and I could have a relationship with the living God and be saved, knowing that we'll see him face to face, and knowing that if God is for us on this earth, who can be against us? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you're in a backslidden state, what does that mean? That means you once served him with all your heart, but you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And today, you want the fire of God reinstalled, reinstated in your life? You want the Holy Ghost to breathe the fire of God back in your spirit? Today, I want to ask you to make a public stand before the Lord. Today, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He is awesome. Is there anyone in the room? Thank you very much. I see that hand. Yes. Amen. Thank you, sir. Young lady over here, thank you very much. You can put your hand down as well. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Maybe you're not right with God. You're backslidden. You need to get the fire back in your spirit. I see your hand right there. Anybody else? Yes. Amen. Anyone else this morning? I see you, honey. Sir, amen. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Can we sing that song like we did in first service? I'd like us to sing this song. This is a holy moment. I'd ask that people don't get up and just leave right now. I really just want you to consecrate yourself to the Lord. And understand that this song, I've been playing this song for about 8 months, almost every single morning, to get myself making sure that I'm back where I need to be. I need Jesus, amen. How many of you need Jesus in the room? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that together.
I come to thee.
I need thee, I need thee.
Salvation or rededication, I'd like you to come right out, meet me down here in the front. Maybe you just need to grab some rugs, spend some time with Jesus. You can spend all afternoon, man, just spending time with the Lord. Make sure your heart's right with the Lord. Make sure your heart, make sure you're like Mary. Make sure you're like that sinner woman who had no name. And say, God, I want you with all that I have inside of me. We love you. Serve God with all.